There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after Toronto Raptors are back, finally. After 4 months off, the Raptors give us a taste. It's just a scrimmage that literally counts for nothing against the Houston Rockets, but they won by a score of 94-83. And I have a lot of thoughts on this game. And, you know, before we get to those thoughts, though, I want to tell you that lately we've all been craving buckets. Seriously, that's definitely very true. You know, no, we don't mean, you know, the ones just on the court. We also mean the fried chicken kind. So we did some thinking. Baseball has hot dogs, football has nachos, and now that basketball's back, it only makes sense to name Kentucky Fried Chicken as its official food. Listen, basketball players make buckets all the time. KFC makes buckets all the time. And theirs are filled with fried chicken, like a famous original recipe, or crispy popcorn chicken, or even juicy tenders. So that settles it. KFC, the official food of basketball. Order at KFC.ca and get it before tip-off. So the Raptors, like I said, man, it's great to see them back. It's great to see them win. I know it's just a scrimmage, but it does always feel better to cover a win. I know it's meaningless, but, you know, it's nice. The Raptors played in this 40-minute game, and honestly, not a lot to really gripe about. I mean, I can tell you off the top that I guess Marc Gasol didn't play, which was a little strange. You know, we've been hearing so much about, you know, slim, trim Marc Gasol at the age of 35 in the best condition of his life. And, of course, there's been so many quotes, obviously so many photos. But, I mean, at the same time, like, you know, Nick Nurse kind of explained, look, there's nothing physically wrong with him. Definitely not. He's healthy again, which is great. Obviously, he spent a lot of the year not being healthy. And it was really just a planned rest day. And, you know, when you look at the Houston Rockets, obviously, they don't play any centers. It made a lot of sense to rest Mark in this specific matchup, and that Mark will be playing on Sunday when the Raptors take on the Portland Trailblazers for the second of three unofficial scrimmages. So Mark didn't play. Pat McCaw didn't play as well. Apparently, he's also good. He's just didn't play in this one, but we'll play on the weekend. But yeah, otherwise, you know, the Raptors look like the Raptors. I don't know what else to say about it. You know, if I'm going to start with the most positive two guys that I thought, you know, kind of set the tone for this team sort of all year, but, you know, especially in this situation where the Raptors are playing a bubble, those were Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka, the two of them combining for 29 points on 10 of 14 shooting. Just very, very, you know, professional approach from both of those guys. It's very evident that those two veterans have maintained their fitness. They maintained, you know, just their sharp approach to the game. And you can tell right away that, you know, Kyle, even though he didn't score much in terms of looking for his own shot, only 4 field goal attempts, got to the free throw line 8 times, a lot of clever plays. Of course, this being a Kyle Lowry game, he took a charge on James Harden, just like it was the All-Star game. But, you know, he hit a buzzer-beating 3 at the end of the first half to sort of tie the game. And for the most part, you know, Kyle did a really good job of just sort of setting the offense. Look, I'll start with it right here. Like, the offense looks worse than the defense right now. I would say maybe that's the case for the Raptors all season. They're just a better defensive team than they are on offense. But, you know, the execution offensively is going to be a little, you know, tough. Like, the first play of the game, you have, you know, two guys coming together on the wing, Pascal cutting towards the basket, and he's open. And Kyle throws a nice high-low entry pass to Siakam, and you expect a wide-open layup, but instead Siakam fumbles the ball and goes out of bounds. Was kind of, you know, not expecting. This is sort of what the kind of rest that you're going to expect to see today and, of course, in sort of the upcoming scrimmage games, and maybe even in the first couple of actual seeding games, too. You never know. But, you know, I thought Kyle did a good job orchestrating the offense, you know, and got his offense. And then Serge Ibaka, just fantastic in terms of how he finished. I mean, first off, he had 18 points in 17 minutes on 8 of 10 shooting, including 2 threes, one of which was contested by Harden, kind of just pulled up on him anyway. Serge, I mean, look, you expect them to dominate this matchup, you know, even just the situation notwithstanding, you're looking at a Houston Rockets team that don't play any centers, like, at all. Like, their only center that they played today was Bruno Caboclo for 6 minutes, and we all know Bruno's no center, all right? Bruno's, you know, very, not really even a basketball player, so, yeah, they don't have any centers, and so you would expect Serge Ibaka to dominate, and he did that. He did that really well. It wasn't like necessarily the Raptors were posting him up that much, although, honestly, he even scored a couple of post-ups, but it was just very clever stuff in terms of just, look, setting a screen, rolling, getting deep post position, sealing his man, putting his arms up, you know, getting a pass inside, and then just calmly finishing. That's the nice thing about Serge's game nowadays, is just he's so steady when he finishes, right? And he's, you know, when he has opportunities, when he has half chances, he's going to finish them. He's like a clinical striker in that way. And yeah, it's funny to say about Serge, because honestly, you know, earlier in his career, he wasn't as dependable, but especially this season, it's kind of a career year for him, even though he's in his 11th year. Like, that's, first off, that's very impressive. But the focus and attitude that he's had and the approach that he's had has been great. Him and Lowry, I think, honestly, you're just going to need a lot of leadership in this situation. Like, you need to keep the guys focused, keep the guys engaged. And, you know, I think the Raptors' leadership structure, as much as, look, you know, leadership's not going to score any baskets, leadership's not going to block any shots, but, like, I think, honestly, just having a competent organization and competent leadership top-down from, you know, you got Bobby and Masai in there, you got Nick Nurse, obviously, being a great coach. Happy birthday to Nick Nurse, by the way. And then you got the veterans on this team sort of setting the tone for everybody. I think that just keeps everyone sharp and focused and on the right page. Because you're going to need a lot of leadership to get through this. You know, there's a lot of foolishness that I think could be end up derailing the NBA and teams in the NBA. I mean, even more than usual. I mean, the NBA is kind of known for some of its, you know, kooky storylines. I mean, look no further with what happened with Lou Williams leaving the bubble. But, the Raptors are just a professional team. And you got Kyle, you got Serge, obviously Mark, all these other guys. They've come in very sharp. They come in very composed. And even if you just look at the team as a whole, right, like, how many teams in the league have been impacted by COVID, right? The other day, the Denver Nuggets had 8 guys available, and they started 5 centers, and obviously they didn't want to start 5 centers, but that's just the situation. And for the Raptors, first off, knock on wood, but, like, the Raptors, this whole time, no one has tested positive for COVID. This is, you know, I think it does speak to sort of, A, just how much the Raptors followed protocol, and B, just how seriously they took this whole situation, how competently they handled this whole thing. You know, they go down to Orlando, well, I guess they go down to Florida first before anyone else. They get an early jump start on training camp in terms of just, like, you know, getting together as a group. Maybe not necessarily practicing together, but at least being able to work out, get down to Florida early. They were safe in their little mini bubble, then they entered the NBA bubble, and now You're gonna need a lot of focus and competence, and I think the Raptors have, you know, that in abundance. So that's reassuring. In terms of the other guys, I thought Pascal was, you know, decent. The jumper, I've been watching some of his you know, practice footage. There's some B-roll that the media members are privy to, and I've been watching basically just like not really even practice, more like post practice. You know, guys shooting around, stuff like that, getting extra shots. And first off, Pascal is one of those guys getting extra shots. It's fantastic. But yeah, I mean, the jumpers, you know, it might take some time to come back. I think the consistency there, it's just going to take time. And I think that's probably going to apply to most people. You're not always going to come right in right away. You know, Pascal himself has said he didn't shoot a basketball for 3 months, so that's a bit of an issue. But otherwise, I thought Pascal was real solid. You know, his finishing around the basket, fantastic. The variety, the assortments of moves that he can have. Like, I think he had probably the play of the game for me was him in the post against Robert Covington. And Covington's a pretty good defender, man. But Covington today, 6 fouls in 18 minutes, trying to guard Pascal. That's unfortunate. And yeah, Pascal in the post against Covington, you know, sort of hit him with this a fake baseline, and then spun really quickly back to the middle. Covington was just completely shook and frozen on that play. Zach was able to get in for the layup, and, you know, it's just, Yeah, we all know this, but Pascal is dominant in the paint. If he can get a mismatch, if he can get a height mismatch, especially, and against the Rockets, I mean, they don't start anyone as tall as Pascal. They don't even have a 6'9 guy on the roster that plays consistently. So Pascal was able to get what he wanted, especially when he got into the paint. And all the other stuff, you know, conditioning, play on transition, you know, Pascal's really good at that stuff. So I thought, you know, Pascal was nice. You know, 13 points today, 5 of 9 shooting. 5 rebounds, 2 steals. Had 5 turnovers. A lot of that was just sloppy. You know, he had some high-low passes that were just really not there. And he wasn't really forcing it. So that's why, you know, it's really rust, because he just thought he saw something there. It definitely wasn't there. You know, again, these things will be cleaned up. I think Pascal's done a pretty good job managing his turnovers this year. But Pascal looks solid. Off the bench, I loved what I saw from Terrence Davis. You know, in what? 19 minutes off the bench, he has 15 points, 4 of 9 shooting. You know, I just like the way he was opportunistic, you know, playing off the ball. You got a lot of Terrence Davis. A lot of his scoring today was, you know, Kyle Lowry would run offense on one side of the floor, make him maybe drive a little bit, collapse the Rockets' defense a little bit, you know, distract them, and then all of a sudden, boom, you have Terrence Davis cutting inside, getting behind the defense, and either dunking the ball or going up strong, getting fouled. And he did that twice in the first half, and then in the fourth quarter, he was able to crash the offensive glass. Again, coming in from the weak side, no one boxing out for the Rockets because they don't have natural big men. And Terrence, you know, getting to the foul line again that way. But I just loved his energy, man. He came in, you know, really gave the Raptors a boost. Today, he kind of played the role where, you know, normally that would be Pat McCaw, who's sort of like that fourth guard in the rotation after obviously Fred, Kyle, and Norm. And TD came in, gave a great scoring boost, and he filled that role excellently. Like, obviously, Terrence and McCaw are very, very different players. But I do think that, honestly, with what Terrence has shown this season and sort of the upside that he can bring in terms of the way he can score, the way he can sort of impact the game, you know, it's sort of bring a change of pace as well. Just as a guy who can, you know, as a guard, he can finish, he can play off the ball. It's very obvious. He's pretty good at relocating, getting himself open for three. Also a threat in transition as well. And just a decent shooter, and definitely a willing shooter. It's just completely different than what McCaw brings. Maybe in a more defensively, you know, difficult matchup, you bring in McCaw, but I think Terrence is a really good shot at that eighth spot. He really should get a good look at it, and I thought he did a really good job in his role tonight. You know, what else? I thought Norm was okay. Like, Norm was struggling a little bit in the first half. I thought he had some open looks that he couldn't knock down, which was strange because all I remember of Norm this season was him hitting, you know, 100% of his open shots. It's kind of been unbelievable. But, you know, I think the Raptors also kind of put him in a bit of an unfamiliar situation. You know, if you look at sort of the lineups that he was playing in today, again, whatever, we're talking about like scrimmage games, man. I mean, they're talking about lineups. Yeah, I don't want to read too much into it. But at the same time, you know, Norm had to sort of play a little bit more point guard because I really don't consider Terrence Davis a point guard, at least functionally right now. In his role, he's more of a finisher. So Norm had to handle the ball, had to create a little bit with the second unit. And, you know, that was just a little tough. I don't think that's his best role. Like, you know, I think maybe if they want to develop that, for sure. And if in a scrimmage, that's the time you want to try things out, definitely. But, you know, Norm is better in terms of as a finisher. Transition, obviously phenomenal in transition. But, you know, you look at sort of when he plays with the starting lineup this year, you have Kyle as a playmaker. You have Pascal as a playmaker. You have Marc Gasol as a playmaker. Like, those guys are able to set Norm up and get him shots, and for him to either knock down the three or there's a gap, he can attack and he can, you know, drive the lane and stuff like that and finish. It's not the same when he's sort of operating pick and rolls and stuff like that. Don't think his handle's strong enough for that, and I don't really think his off the dribble game in terms of the pull up shot is strong enough where, you know, I think defenses are still going to be able to plug the paint and sort of short multiple bodies and make life a little more difficult for Norm. So him playing point guard, I'm a little not the biggest fan, but yeah, it was also a bit of a strange situation. Again, like, you know, ordinarily, I think, especially in important moments, you're probably going to have at least one of Fred or Kyle on the floor at all times. And if they can sort of be just the guy who sets everything up, I think that, you know, takes that pressure off Norm to do that. And also, you know, it's an unfamiliar lineup. Like, I don't think I've seen all season where it's been Terrence and Norm in the backcourt with Matt Thomas at three, Rondé at four, and Boucher at five. Like, that's, I don't know. I don't remember that combo a lot. And, you know, that specific lineup, again, we're talking about very, very granular things in a meaningless scrimmage game. But, you know, it was a little, I don't know, it didn't look like a completely fit. I think Boucher at center there, bit of a strange pick, only in the sense that, you know, he's a little too skinny. I know he gained the 15 pounds, but he's still a little too skinny to set solid screens. And so there's not really an advantage created. It's a little hard to play pick and roll with a guy who can't screen well. And, you know, there's just not that much playmaking around there. So I thought those lineups were okay only because, you know, Terrence chipped in with a couple of plays. Rondé chipped in with a couple of plays. You know, Matt Thomas switched two threes in the fourth quarter, including one from like 30 feet. He just pulled up. It was great. But there was a lot of broken sequences with that lineup. I feel like, you know, either, you know, just even bringing in a guy like Marc Gasol, if he's available, him playing that center spot, then all of a sudden it is very interesting to have those four wings around him. You know, Mark being more of a playmaker and be able to set people up, obviously setting great screens, spacing the floor, being with the pass. Him and Norm always have great chemistry. So I'd like to see some of that. But yeah, on the whole, Norm, you know, he picked it up towards the end of the game. There were a lot more open opportunities, open sequence opportunities, and that's where you got to see the best of Norm in transition, just shot out of a cannon, go straight to the basket. The strength that he has in finishing at the rim this year is so impressive. He's got so much composure. His timing, his footwork is really good, especially in transition. He's always able to sort of get the advantage on his man, despite being a little bit shorter than, you know, a lot of the Rockets. He was able to get to the rim, finish, hit an open three off a nice transition sequence in the fourth quarter as well. So he finished with 12 points. But yeah, I mean, you know, on the whole, it was nice to see the Raptors be able to empty their bench as well. You know, I think Nick did a great job of managing minutes. OG played the first quarter in its entirety, and he led the team in minutes with 23. But everyone else, you know, was pretty, everyone was pretty, like, normal, pretty much what you would expect. You know, Nurse extended his rotation basically 10 deep, right? You got, like, Pascal playing 18 minutes, and then you also got Matt Thomas playing 14 minutes, like, it was 10 deep, like two full lineups, you know, going. And then, of course, you even had, you know, basically the end of the bench being cleared out. You got DeJuan Hernandez playing a minute. Got Malcolm Miller coming in for, and Paul Watson coming in for 2 minutes. O'Shea coming in for a little run. Stanley coming in for a very adventurous 8 minutes and 25 seconds, in which he might have mishandled the ball like 25 times in that stretch. It looked like he's been quarantining from basketball his whole life. But that was a little rusty for Stanley. But, yeah, it was nice to see Nick there sort of just give a lot of opportunities, spread out the minutes, and, again, just play it smart. Obviously, there's no reason really to extend anybody. There's no reason to go all out. You know, whether the players are competitive or not, that you can't really control that. Like, Kyle Lowry taking a charge in a scrimmage, the most on-brand thing possible. Kyle Lowry waiting a whole 6 minutes to complain about a foul call, honestly, that shows a lot of restraint. That you could tell Kyle is really relaxed if he's going to wait 6 minutes to complain about a call. You know, Fred's, you know, same kind of deal. But yeah, I mean, the way Nick Nurse can sort of ramp things up, look at different lineups, I think it's worth experimenting. It's of course, it's also worth just, like, beyond experimenting, it's also worth taking this time to get some chemistry with this main group together, right? Like, it's very important for his main guys to be able to get a rhythm. Those are the guys that are going to be playing the most minutes and the most important minutes. But nevertheless, you know, I think it was a good showing on the whole. And the Raptors, you know, they look like the Raptors. Again, offensively, it's going to need a little bit of work. Their execution is not that great. Defensively, it's there. Like, you can see, like, they ran some box and one occasionally. Didn't do that crazy stuff with, like, trapping James Harden in the half court like they did earlier in the season, where Ben McLemore thought he was nice. But, you know, yeah, just still a fair bit of Raptors sort of creativity, ingenuity. I think defensively, because the Raptors are so big and athletic and they're very smart, they're able to probably just execute everything there. I think offensively, that's where most of the attention needs to go in terms of just sharpening everything up, you know, cutting down on turnovers. Like, having 19 turnovers in 40 minutes, just not great. Shooting 29 for three, and especially because a lot of those threes were Matt Thomas in the fourth quarter, Norm in the fourth quarter. Also not great, you know, Van Vliet shooting. Well, Van Vliet shot 2 of 3, but, you know, Pascal 0 for 3, OG 1 for 4 with some very open looks. you know, those are the things that, you know, the Raptors should try to hammer down. But on the whole, a nice start. The Raptors win. In terms of your three stars for this summer league game, or essentially this premium summer league, I'll give Serge Ibaka the first star, 18 points on 8 of 10 shooting, 2 of 3 from 3, with 3 rebounds, 2 assists. You know, very solid, just always an option for the Raptors offensively. And yeah, especially in the matchup like against Houston, like you expect Serge to be able to dominate, shoot over the top. Like, you got PJ Tucker on you. That's cool, man. Just like calmly rise up and shoot over him. Not that much of an issue, and I think Serge really handled it well. I'd say the second start tonight was Kyle Lowry, 11 points, 2 of 4 shooting, 1 of 2 from the three-point line. That 1-3, spectacular three to beat the buzzer while he was sort of fading and leaning. Also got to the free throw line 8 times. You know, chipped in on the glass, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and all of that in 19 minutes. Again, it's what you expect from Kyle. You know, the competitiveness with him is really funny. You know, and it's admirable. It's funny only in the sense that obviously not everyone else takes it as seriously as him. But that's what makes Kyle Lowry so good, is that he takes everything so seriously, and he treats it as a competition, because, you know, everything is a competition. And, you know, to see him communicate the way he did, you know, defensively, especially with Mark out, very important. Obviously, with the team sort of not necessarily being new, because obviously they played together many times, but new to, you know, playing basketball in the last 4 months in an organized setting. Kyle organizing the defense, you know, taking a charge, regular Kyle Lowry stuff. And then your third star, I'm giving to Terrence Davis, 15 points off the bench, 4 of 9 shooting, 1 of 6 from 3, but got to the free throw line 6 times, 6 of 6 from there, 5 rebounds and assists. And just generally great energy on the whole. I really, really like the way he played, both with the sort of half starter lineups and also with the bench exclusive lineups. Just his energy, you know, handling the ball a little bit more, obviously without a regular point guard on the floor. TD looks good, man. TD looks good, and hopefully he can keep it up, because, you know, you know, I think everyone's hope really is for Terrence to crack that rotation and be a consistent piece in the playoffs. It would be very interesting to see what he can bring. But, you know, honestly, there's a lot of good guys that played well. I thought Rondé played well. You know, his, you know, played good defense, came in great energy, you know, a couple garbage baskets. Boucher, you know, didn't really do much offensively, a bit of a liability there, but, you know, defensively, he just completely was lights out. Like, none of the Rockets could score at the basket around with him around. So, and yeah, Matt Thomas, you know, hit some threes, did Matt Thomas things. Handle the ball a little bit. Always funny. Matt Thomas trying to guard Russell Westbrook and James Harden on game one. Not even game one. The first game after 4 months was really aggressively funny. You know, you could see the panic in him a little bit because he just knows he's screwed in that situation when it's Westbrook posting him up and spinning around, or if it's James Harden, you know, dribbling at him. Like, yeah, it's a tough look. But look, Matt always competes. You know, he comes in with a professional approach, you know, hits his threes. And, you know, just a very solid bench player at the moment. So, as for the Gerald Henderson Award, I mean, I guess Daniel House, he had 18 points. Didn't really notice that Daniel House had 18 points. I'm not going to lie to you, but apparently he played 31 minutes, which is, you know, even by D'Antoni standards, man, why are you playing your guy 31 minutes in a scrimmage game? That means absolutely nothing. I'm a little confused by that. But, yeah, 18.7, 11 shooting, 3 of 6 from 3, 6 rebounds. Again, Daniel House is a nice pickup for the Rockets. Again, just a guy who anyone could have had, basically. And the Rockets basically almost let him go because they're cheap, but they were able to get him back. And he's solid. He's a solid player. He defends well, shoots the 3 well. Shoots the 3 well-ish. You know, maybe I honestly feel like he can... He's primed basically to be another PJ Tucker type, maybe with a little bit more offensive bounce. You know, PJ's 6'4 under the basket, so he's not going to finish anything there. He's only going to hit corner threes. But yeah, I thought Daniel House was okay. I mean, based on this box score right here. So that does it for the podcast. Once again, thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to KFC for sponsoring the program. And seriously, a huge thank you to everyone who has listened to the podcast, you know, throughout the quarantine. It's been honestly, admittedly, a little bit difficult to come up with content. You know, it's, yeah, you can look back on things or whatever, but it's totally different when we have actual stuff to look at, to talk about, to sort of think about, to dissect. So I appreciate everyone's patience. I appreciate everyone's continued support. Anyone who's watched Run It Back, shout out to Alex for coming up with these topics to talk about every week. But goddamn, there were some dire times where we were pretending to be reporters, even though we're actual reporters. I don't know why we did that. Basically recreating fake press conferences. Like, look, if we have entertained you, if you have watched, we really appreciate it, and, so look, in terms of coverage on my end, it's going to look the same. What you're familiar with, 10 things is going to come out after every game. That includes scrimmages. Scrimmages are games. All right. I'm going to be spending Sunday night watching Raptors Blazers. And I know a lot of you guys will be too. All right. So don't judge me, please. There'll be 1,000 words in 10 things on just absolute bare bones scrimmage games. Obviously there's going to be the reaction podcast. We're also working on getting the Raptors Everything live call-in show back up and running. Obviously, not being able to be in the Yahoo offices and the studios is going to make it a little bit more difficult. So we got to hammer out some, technicals, but we're pretty much 95% of the way there. So look out for that, and we'll definitely announce the first show on at a later date. You can expect the same coverage, for me, it's no different. Even though I'm not at the arena, it's weird that, they're basically just playing in this weird little decorated box. The NBA players are, I've covered a lot of games from home. It's just like every game's a road game. So thanks everyone for listening, and, I'll be back on Sunday when the Raptors take on the Portland Trailblazers.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.